Okay. Good morning, everyone. So today, I'm going to share with you some information actually from our very preliminary research project on the use of high tunnel systems for organic strawberry production in northern Florida. Well, many of you are probably very similar with the high tunnel production systems. High tunnel is an unheated, plastic-covered, greenhouse-like structure that can provide an intermediate level of environmental control and protection in comparison with open field and greenhouse conditions. And this particular protected structure has been now widely used in many places around the country for improving the yield and quality of many horticultural crops. Well, in Florida, the interest in high tunnel production systems is growing. Here are some statistics from the NRCS EQIP program. So during the fiscal year of 2010 to 2013, there have been 117 high tunnels being constructed through this particular program. Well, particularly in northern Florida, many growers, especially local small and organic growers, they're very interested in actually utilizing this particular protected structure to help them to extend the season. For example, to help to actually manage the late frost or early frost in order to actually improve the economic viability. So in this particular research, we focused on the organic strawberry production systems. Actually, I'm going to present this particular study on cultivar evaluation under both open field and organic systems. As you all know, Florida is the second leader in strawberry production in the states, and we actually are focused on winter production. Well, this particular research took place in Central Florida, in northern state. Well, Tampa or Plant City area in Central Florida is actually the center for winter strawberry production in Florida. So that's really concentrated there. However, many growers in northern Florida, they actually also grow high-value strawberry crop. And we have seen really increasing interest among, again, local small and organic growers to actually include this particular high-value crop in their production system to actually improve profitability. Again, this is in certified organic field, and at our Plant City, at our University Plant Science Research and Education Center in Citra, Florida, and this is our first season for strawberry production. We evaluated 8 cultivars of strawberry in this particular trial. As you can see here, Strawberry Festival, Strawberry Rating, Strawberry Festival, Florida Ratings, Winter Star, and Treasure, those are among the most popular cultivars grown in Florida. Particularly these three, they're bred by University of Florida breeders, Albion and Camarosa. Dr. Poling also mentioned those two cultivars from California. Those actually are also grown by some growers, especially we noticed in northern Florida, we do have growers actually using those two cultivars. And we also included two proprietary cultivars, I'll call them PA and P1 and P2. In terms of crop management, we had sun hemp. Again, to remind you, this is our first season of strawberry production in this particular location. So sun hemp was planted during the summer prior to the fall strawberry season. The fertilizer program consisted of pre-plant application and fertigation. And we used bare root transplants. And plants were transplanted in both systems on the same day, October 24th last year. And we did use row cover for frost protection in the open field. And in terms of high tunnels, we basically, during the frost events, we actually closed up the whole structure for protection. This is the dimension of our high tunnel, and or you can say 96 feet by 30 feet. So we used 4 replications in both systems, randomized complete block design, and again, foliarization, irrigation programs, we kept everything the same for both systems. We did have more plants in open field system, 50 plants per cultivar per rep, and well, only 20 plants per cultivar in replication in the high tunnel. We ran a novel analysis and multiple comparison using the Fisher's LSD test. Okay, so I'm going to really present some, we thought, quite interesting information, especially from this particular considered as preliminary study. So harvest, as you can tell, is quite long season from December 2013 through April 2014. So very intensive work, actually. This is my first season of strawberry, so now I realize really very, very time consuming and labor intensive. We have minimally 2 harvests per, or I should say average 2 harvests per week in both systems. So today I'm going to focus on yield data, although we collected plant growth and food quality and other type of data as well, but today I'm going to focus on yield information. So we categorized our harvested fruit into marketable and cull fruit, and we really tried to classify the cull fruit because we want to identify the contributing factors to the marketable yield. And we counted both fruit number and weight, the fruit, measured the fruit weight. So this is the monthly marketable yield in open field. As you can tell, really, you know, during December to early February, there's really not much going on. So yield quite low in terms of marketable yield. And then you see this peak, okay, really going up since February. And then not too bad even late March and towards April. And really, during the early season, you could see that there's not too much separation among the 8 cultivars, although some cultivars did actually show some earliness in the open field. Well, during the peak harvest, you really see some cultivars actually standing out. For example, Strawberry Festival. This particular cultivar was actually quite popular among organic growers in our region. So again, in this particular study, we kind of confirmed that, yes, it was really a very good performer in the field. And then Camarosa was a little bit surprising to us, but again, according to some information from organic growers locally, and seemed like they also liked this particular cultivar because it was a good producer. So, and then Florida Radiance also did okay, and then Winter Star was fine, kind of in the middle, and El Beyond, surprisingly compared to Camarosa, did not do quite well. You can see really kind of like a low yielder. Well, high tunnel, if you could recall the previous figure, could see that actually we did see some early yield there at a greater level compared to the open field strawberries. And then you would also see there's some separation there early on in terms of the yield performance among cultivars. And Strawberry Festival continued to do well, but Winter Star in the high tunnel actually became the top yielder. And El Beyond actually did not do too bad in the high tunnel versus the open field. And Camarosa did not really stand out, but you could see that the yield continued to increase from the beginning all the way through April. Well, this is the total yield, and I also want to point out that the orange or yellow color here actually indicated the cull yield, and then the blue bar indicate the marketable yield. So this, the total, the total of both actually indicates the total yield. So the letters here on the top actually indicating the comparison in total yield, and then the letters here indicating the comparison in marketable yield. So you can see actually in open field, in terms of total yield, we kind of surprised that maybe because of the variability of the data, we actually did not see significant differences among cultivars in terms of total yield. But if you look at the marketable yield throughout the whole season, you could see that, yes, Strawberry Festival did quite well, and then Florida Radiance and Winter Star, as well as Camarosa. So those 4 cultivars did pretty well in open field in terms of total marketable yield. And then in the high tunnel, back up a little bit here. As you can tell, actually the percentage of the cows in some cultivars is quite high there, and in many cases actually over 50%. So that means we're really losing a lot of yield. So keep that question in mind, why we're losing so many yield in open field. Although you look at the scale, so total yield in high tunnel significantly increased, and you also actually saw a decrease of the cow percentage in the high tunnel systems. And if we look at the total yield, actually we're seeing some significant differences among the cultivars as well as the marketable yield. And again, Florida Festival, Strawberry Festival, Winter Star, and Camarosa, they did fairly well in the open, in the high tunnel system, but Florida Radiance was a little surprising to us because it did okay, or we can say well in open field, but not too good in the high tunnel. And keep that question also in mind, why did not perform very well in the high tunnel system? Well, total yield comparison, just did some relative comparison here, high tunnel minus open field, and then over open field. And I also highlighted some interesting numbers here. So for example, I highlighted if the increase is actually over 70%, so they're highlighted in yellow, and if the increase is below 10%, highlighted in blue. So you could see that Albion, Camarosa, Strawberry Festival, and Winter Star, those cultivars actually they showed yield increase over 70% in the high tunnel versus open field. Florida Radiance, really, really surprising that the total yield actually got decreased by 2.6%. Fruit number kind of similar to the fruit yield data, but actually you could see quite differences among the cultivars in terms of the total fruit number. Well, we didn't really see that total yield difference among cultivars in open field. And again, you know, those cultivars showing higher yield, they also produce more fruit. And then in high tunnel, similar to the yield data, and also we're seeing less cow fruit in the high tunnel system as well. So this is the fruit number comparison. Again, Albion, Camarosa, and Winter Star, they showed over 70% increase in the high tunnel versus open field in terms of total fruit number. And well, Strawberry Festival did okay, over 65%, and Florida Radiance only showed 8% increase, while keeping in mind the total yield was actually decreased a little bit. So average fruit weight actually quite comparable between open field and high tunnel, although we did notice, for example, Florida Radiance, the fruit was actually larger in the open field compared to the high tunnel. So some problems here in terms of different production system where you may actually attribute to some of the yield differences that we saw among cultivars and also between the production systems. So in the high tunnels, powdery mildew actually appear as the primary foliar disease in that particular system, as well as spider mites. So spider mites actually came on very early. We were really unprepared, so our biological control was kind of not timely. So we did release beneficial predator mites in both systems, but again, we thought we probably have done a better job in terms of early release in the high tunnel. So really, we lost a lot of yield, actually quite an amount to the spider mites damage, particularly Florida Radiance. And that is why you're seeing actually decrease of yield in high tunnel system versus open field, because again, the problems was much more severe in the high tunnel in terms of spider mites. Well, in open field, we had different problems. So we had different kinds of fruit rot, although we do have fruit rot in the high tunnel as well, but not as bad as the open field, and fruit cracking or splitting, really bad in open field. And that also contributed to the unmarketable yield, especially we had lot of rain events during the harvest season. We actually heard from some commercial growers in our region. They're saying sometimes they really felt so bad because they lost over 50%, you know, during one particular harvest, particularly because of the rain. And seed bug is something really new I learned from this particular project, as kind of unique in our high tunnel system. At the beginning, we saw some actually seed drop or acorn drop actually along the bed. I was really, really worried. I was not sure what's going on. First, I thought it's like physiological disorder. And then we did a lot of search and we tried to catch something, but you know, later on we of course identified this particular seed bug, but they run so fast at the beginning it was very hard to catch them. So anyway, so later on we did actually provide some control, you know, using organic insecticide, but again, this problem happened so early in our high tunnel system and we were not prepared to control it, so we lost quite amount of yield to this particular seed bug as well. This problem did occur in open field, but later in the season. In the high tunnel, it came much early and really affected our yield. We also saw many, not too many, but more runners in the high tunnel. So we have to actually remove some of the runners, and L. Beyond was one of them, really showing more runners than other cultivars. So I'm going to quickly run through some of the environmental condition information. So we had data loggers in open field and high tunnel and try to monitor both air temperature and soil temperature, relative humidity and light intensity as well. So just quickly show you some of that data. You probably have already, you know, got some ideas. So maximum air temperature, you can see that in the high tunnel, we had, you know, constantly higher maximum temperature, especially during those cold nights and when we had actually frost events where you can actually tell, you know, temperature really dropped in the open field. This is the minimum temperature as well. This is average air temperature. So you can see, again, there's, you know, consistent higher temperature inside the high tunnel. And then relative humidity, actually, quite different. So in open field, generally below 50 to 60%. Well, in a high tunnel, it's the opposite. Generally above those levels in terms of relative humidity. So for soil temperature measured at 6 centimeter depth, and this you can actually tell that they kind of correlate with the air temperature as well. So when we actually have big difference in terms of air temperature, you're also seeing the big differences in terms of soil temperature between the high tunnel and high tunnel and open field. But overall, if you look at maximum and minimum soil temperature and the average soil temperature, again, constantly, you know, it was higher inside high tunnel versus open field. And light intensity was definitely reduced because of the plastic cover. So on average, about 65% of the light intensity in the open field, in the high tunnel. So rainfall data, so this is actually from a very nice website constructed by University of Florida in terms of the weather information. So you can see we had really quite a few rain events throughout the whole season. Unfortunately, this year was not, I mean, last season was not a very good season for our strawberry growers and really, you know, quite wet season. So again, conclusion and discussion. My title is Opportunities and Challenges. So really opportunities there, see great potential of using high tunnel system to improve strawberry yield and quality. I didn't have opportunity to present the quality data, but again, we see great potential there of using this particular structure, and probably not just for strawberries, but also for some other crops as well. However, cultivar selection for high tunnel production systems. We do not really have any recommendations right now for growers, and particularly I focus on Northern Florida area, you know, what type of strawberry cultivar that we actually can recommend for growers, or in terms of breeding program to develop particularly for this particular system, because we're seeing really the environment conditions are quite different, and we're also seeing some differential responses in terms of the cultivars to those different systems, and disease and pest management in high tunnel system. So as we're learning, you know, really saw different disease and pest problems, and not only the type, but also when actually it's going to occur inside versus outside. And fertilization irrigation management, we use both really equivalent program, but maybe we're doing something wrong there, not really to optimize the system. Maybe we should have, you know, provided more fertilizers, okay, especially in organic production system, because of the higher soil temperature, maybe the decomposition, mineralization actually happening at a higher rate. So you may have to provide more, and in order to actually promote early or extend the late season. And irrigation system, should we use less water or more water? So what, you know, how can we actually optimize the production system in the high tunnel? And of course, lastly, I want to mention that really the big barrier is that the cost. So many, especially large growers, in terms of adopting the high tunnel system, constantly they're saying, oh, that's too expensive. Easy, it's cheap to get one tunnel, which we did in our recent trial, but how about getting 100 acres of tunnels? So that's a lot of cost, and then how we can actually do more research and then do more comprehensive economic analysis to help, you know, to actually tackle that, and then trying to improve the profitability of high tunnel system, I think, is a long-term project. So finally, I want to acknowledge the funding sources from the Walmart Foundation through the Sustainability Sustainable Strawberry Initiative Program, also managed by University of Arkansas. And thank you if you have any questions.